you gonna sit in the back?
Yeah. That's the safest part of a car. In the event of a crash, driver always protects his side first.
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, Ethan Nickenweiss here with you once again. We had the therapy session earlier this week, but we're on to Arizona. Before we get into it, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of the housekeeping. First things first, follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow Nick at Nick Zeraris. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe. We're everywhere. iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitch Radio, Spotify. Subscribe, unsubscribe, resubscribe. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a kind review. Okay, we are on to the Arizona Cardinals, week 2. On the road, going to be a short week. Lots to talk about. We've got some injury news, player position discussions to be had, and some matchup discussions to be had as well. Should we start with the injury report? Nick, you of the three of us seemed particularly worried about Darren Waller and his hamstring. He did not practice yesterday on Wednesday. That is going to be a recurring thing. If you think back to the days of Plaxico Burress, who effectively skipped the first practice of every week as a sort of veteran maintenance situation, you can consider that, though I don't think he had a hamstring. I think it was like an ankle. But regardless, that's going to be a thing throughout the course of the season. Giants knew what his hamstring issues were when they traded for him. It's what nagged him all last year. The only thing that gets me is that he came right out and said that it was a nerve issue, not necessarily a muscle issue. Now, I'm not a doctor, but that does seem a little concerning to me, especially because he's supposed to be the number one option in this offense. Has me a little bit nervous, and it's not like he really had the opportunity to display his explosiveness against the Cowboys, so this upcoming week is going to be a big test to see if he looks 100% when he's on the field.
Anytime you're dealing with something soft tissue, like a hamstring, a quad, anything like that that's nagging, it's just the most annoying thing because it's going to feel different week to week. You're going to have good weeks where it feels fine and weeks where it doesn't. And for a Giants team that, you know, didn't have a functioning offense last week against an Arizona team that they're not particularly talented, but they're a little frisky. Like, they played pretty good defense against Washington. And to be fair, Washington's offense is bad. Sam Howell stinks. Arizona's defense got decent pressure, only sending 4 guys most of the time. They didn't blitz a lot. And we know the Giants offensive line is going to be, you know, dinged up, to say the least, going into this week. Good chance Andrew Thomas is either doesn't play at all or is a lesser version of himself. That's something to keep an eye on. So, yeah, those two things in conjunction. I mean, these are our two best offensive players we're talking about here, in Andrew Thomas and Darren Waller. And we're 1 week into the season and they both have hamstring issues.
Yeah, I mean, we'll talk about the Cardinals pass rush maybe in a little bit. Shifting over to the Andrew Thomas injury. Sit him. Listen, the Cardinals are actively tanking.
Say that one more time.
The Cardinals are actively tanking.
I had that written down in my notes, by the way.
The Cardinals would like to be drafting first.
Yes.
And second overall. And have Caleb Williams and Marvin Harrison Jr. on the roster next year. They are actively tanking. Josh Dobbs didn't even know who his teammates were last week when he made his first start for the Cardinals. All right. Andrew Thomas should sit. Period. End of story. Because if this team is much closer to the team that showed up last week than they are to the team that we believed them to be coming into the season, Andrew Thomas starting is not going to make a difference. Because if they play as poorly as they did against Dallas, against the Cardinals this upcoming week, Andrew Thomas or not, doesn't matter. Rest them, short week, get him ready for Nick Bosa, get him ready for that 49ers pass rush, run the ball 50 times, win the game 12-9, I don't care. Andrew Thomas worsening this hamstring injury, just, I don't think I'm being hyperbolic when I say this, that effectively derails your entire season. That's it. Season's over. That's it.
Yeah, I think the Giants despite having issues on the offensive line with Andrew Thomas, can still beat the Arizona Cardinals without Andrew Thomas. Yeah, like
with Azudu starting, they should still beat the Cardinals.
With me starting, they should still beat the Arizona Cardinals. But yeah,
I genuinely believe that the defense is going to shut them out. I genuinely believe that.
Yeah, you took the words out of my mouth. I think this is a game where
this is a defense game.
Yeah, similar to what we saw last year with the Giants, where it's not necessarily a defense game, but what you see is like you run the ball 30, 35 times. You don't throw the ball a lot and you just ground.
I mean, forget about game plan for a second, because I agree with you, right? Yeah. Like, I think this is going to be way more old school Giants. The Giants defense did not have an opportunity to show what they can really do last week. Blink of an eye, they're down 16-0. Cowboys were never going to be in a negative game script throwing the ball. They couldn't pin their ears back and get a pass rush going. And pretty much everyone on the defense played well. Like, even all the new additions, the rookie cornerbacks, like Kayvon Thibodeau was still very good against the run. Dexter Lawrence was really good.
By the way,
like,
I hate the conversation that people have with Kayvon Thibodeau. Kayvon Thibodeau and Evan Neal are in two different situations. Evan Neal is struggling. Like he's struggling and he can't, you know, establish himself right now. Kayvon Thibodeau is a good player that we want to be a great player, right? And he's still making plays. The problem is that, and I think this is not Kayvon's fault, is that he's forever going to be compared to Micah Parsons because the Giants passed on Micah Parsons. And a year later, sure, they drafted Kayvon Thibodeau, and they want that level of production. But back to my point, the moment Arizona tweeted out that picture or tweeted that video of Jonathan Gannon talking to Rondell Moore
in the locker room,
they told us, hey, we're not trying to win games this year. Like, do you see this? Like, we're not trying to win games. I was thinking about this. You guys watch Power Rangers, right?
Occasionally. I don't know.
But you know, like, the main characters in the show.
Sure.
So you know Zordon, right? The dude that sort of gives them the powers. He's like the cloud, you know, in their little... When he gave the Power Rangers their powers, he gave them like this big speech about like what each one's strengths are. And I feel like a modern day Power Rangers, where it's not like this like Shakespeare-like speech, where it's like just a regular conversation, right? Jonathan Gannon is like Zordon. And he was telling Rondell Moore, like, hey, I chose you as a Power Ranger. Like, your speed, shot. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just got that vibe from him. But anyways, I was expecting a laugh, Nick.
Hey, man, it's been a while. I vaguely recall what you're discussing, but we're talking about like 15, 16 years ago, the last time I watched Power Rangers.
Anyways, the Giants in this game, I think, run the football, play defense. This is a quarter. Wink Martindale should be able to put, like, not only is Josh Dobbs still getting his feet wet with the Arizona Cardinals, he's also a career backup quarterback. Like, you know what I mean?
I think that's being kind. Like, he's a career practice squad.
Yeah. So,
like, in my eyes, this is the Giants starting Jake Fromm.
I don't know. I think Dobbs is a little bit better than Jake Fromm, but I get what you're saying. Wink Martindale should have his way. Like, he should be able to disguise things, make things.
Like, if you're a football team and Josh Dobbs is your backup, you're like, ugh.
Josh Dobbs almost took the Titans to the playoffs last year. Let's not forget about that. I'm just saying. But you get my point. Like, the Cardinals are not trying to win football games. They're not. If the Giants lose this game, like, it is, like,
it's Armageddon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. This should be a game the Giants win. I don't really care.
If they lose this game, they're going to be in contention for Caleb Williams.
I can't dispute that. I mean, 2 weeks into the season, 0-2, where the tough part of the schedule is still coming up.
Yeah. Then they lose to the 49ers, 0-3. That's how it snowballs.
When you look at when you mentioned the defense, last week against Dallas, like, they were very good in the red zone. Like, they held Dallas. And Dallas is supposed really to have good. a high-powered offense. Dak Prescott did not throw a touchdown pass. And I'm not trying to, like, find
he didn't
a silver
really need to, but.
Yeah, I'm not trying to find a silver lining, but I think the corners didn't look overwhelmed. Number one thing with rookie corners is what, man? Like, don't look overwhelmed all the time. Like, it's okay to look overwhelmed certain times, but don't look overwhelmed all the time. And so I think this matchup should be something the Giants win, given their injuries with or without Andrew Thomas. I'm with you guys. I think they'll probably sit him this week, especially on a short week. But the Giants got to get that stench out of their out of them that what happened on Sunday night and just sort of get a win. Win feels good. And I don't really care if it's a blowout or not. I mean, it's tough to blow teams down in the NFL, and I know that's ironic coming from last week. But yeah. Normally NFL games, regardless of which teams are playing against each other, it's usually a one-possession, two-possession game, not a four- or five-possession game. You're most likely to win by one or two possessions than four or five. So win this game. I don't care if it's close. I don't care if it goes down to the wire. Just get a win. Get in the win column, and then we'll move on from there.
My whole point about the defense was basically like they didn't really have a shot last week to keep the team in the game, show that they were competitive. I mean, the offense lost in that game. This is a defense that's coached to the point where you feel like they're going to come into this game saying, we have to do this, and they're going to show up. Like, we have to win this game for the team, and we're going to. I think that's sort of the mentality that Wink's going to instill in them. I really think we see a dominant performance.
And to that point, this is an Arizona team that didn't have an offensive touchdown last week as well. This is a team right. that really did not look good against Washington. And granted, Washington has a really good pass rush, and Josh Dobbs, as we've discussed, is a practice squad slash backup quarterback for his entire NFL career to this point. Realistically, it's not going to take a lot of points to win this game. If you can't put up 21 on this Arizona defense, I don't think we need to have much of a discussion about the Giants' season. This Arizona defense is a bunch of journeymen and project players they've drafted the last couple of years. I was doing some reading about this. Like, they still have the one linebacker who they drafted, who's got the exact same skill set as Isaiah Simmons. Collier, who they drafted right after they drafted Isaiah Simmons, and they lost J.J. Watt, who obviously retired at the end of last season. Their pass rush is pretty non-existent. Their corners are underdeveloped. Buda Baker's good, but if you can't put up between 21 and 24 points against this team, the offense is hopeless.
Also, Isaiah Simmons' revenge game.
Hey, man, give me a special teams Isaiah Simmons play. I'll take yes. anything.
Can we talk about the offensive line real quick? A lot of discussion about the O-line this week about what to do with Evan Neal. I saw a lot of people talking about move to guard, move to left tackle, you know, bring this guy in, bring that guy in. One of us was talking about bringing in a 41-year-old Jason Peters, which that put me down bad. You know, 41-year-old Jason Peters.
I would have done it in a second.
No, I'm with you. I was like, damn, like we're there now. Like, we're talking about 41-year-old Jason Peters. But anyways, to me, the number one issue with the Giants' offensive line, before we talk about moving anyone anywhere or doing anything in terms of personnel, the Giants need a better offensive line coach. Writing was sort of on the wall from day one, because when Bobby Johnson left Buffalo, Buffalo didn't exactly try to keep him. Buffalo Bills fans weren't upset. They were like, that's all right. We need a new O-line coach. I don't know if it's his coaching style. I don't know if it's his messaging. I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is. It just seems like he doesn't have a good track record with developing young offensive linemen.
Haven't the Giants gone through about seven offensive line yeah. coaches in the last like 8 years?
I saw somebody tweet out the list. It was not a good list after Pat Flaherty left. The recent ones were Colombo, Rob Sale, just a bunch of guys that were not people that are on coaching staffs right now. I think not many of them are. But I just think you need a new offensive line coach, and I think that's probably the most important positional coach in the NFL right now. I think I compare it to Jerome Henderson in last year with the DBs. I mean, they were shuffling a lot of guys in, but they didn't look this bad in comparison to the offensive line. Like, the defensive back struggled, but that's because – like, they didn't have a number seven pick. They didn't have a high second round pick. They didn't have, you know, one of the best corners in the game last year. Like, the Giants offensive line last year had one of the best left tackles, a top 10 pick at right tackle. Like, there was more investments in the offensive line. But Jerome Henderson made the DBs look a lot better than Bobby Johnson is. And I'm not saying that because Evan Neal's a top 10 pick, it's going to work out. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, before we do anything with Evan Neal, before we do anything with, you know, shuffling guys in and out or having to replace guys, I think the Giants need to make a change with their offensive line coach. If this continues to spiral, maybe do it in season. Not saying that will fix anything, but you have to change something. And the first thing they should change is who's coaching that room.
Sure.
There was one thing I was reading the other day that I found relatively interesting, that you got to remember that most of these guys, the guys who go in the first round, the ones who go to Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, they have been the best at their position their entire life. that these are guys who, no matter what level they've been at, they've always been the best or one of the best players on their team. And they've been able to get by with just pure athleticism. Someone like Evan Neal, even at Alabama, an SEC pass rush is not comparable to an NFL pass rush.
Well, you, Nick, you're bringing up some points right now, and I'll let you finish, but I want to throw a question to both of you real quick. Who was the last Alabama offensive tackle taken highly that's worked out?
Jedrick Wills.
And it took a while.
Jedrick Wills and moved to guard.
Jedrick Wills is a guard now?
I'm pretty sure he's a guard. Someone check that for me.
No, the Browns have him listed as a tackle.
Yeah, I think Jedrick Wills is a tackle.
Okay.
He might not be like, oh my God, good.
Right. But he was taken with a high pick and he's fine. But Evan Neal looking rough so far. I'm trying to think. Alex Leatherwood is an abomination.
Colton Miller is decent. Oh no, I'm thinking of someone else. I'm not
Cam, thinking Cam, Colton Cam Miller. Robinson. Cam Robinson. There you go.
Cam Robinson. He was decent.
The Jaguars left tackle. He's good. He's a good left tackle. Got a second contract. Jonah Williams. I don't know how you guys feel about him.
Jonah Williams is decent.
We're on out for Jonah Williams.
But yeah, there's a real point there to be made that these guys, you know, they get by on athleticism, and you play at Alabama, everybody looks good in that offense.
Yeah, no, Weiss's point. That's the Weiss's point, because if you're getting by on athleticism, but you don't have the technique, you need someone to teach you the technique.
But here's the thing. Are you guys ready? Have you guys given up on Evan Neal?
No.
No. You can't give up on a guy into his second season.
Like, I seriously think that Evan Neal can still be a very good offensive tackle in this league.
So, again, it's like it depends on your definition of giving up. Like, I have not given up, but I have adjusted my expectations accordingly.
Yes.
So what was your expectations before? What was your expectation when he was drafted?
My expectation when he was drafted was that by year two, we were looking at this guy and saying, he could be a top 10 right tackle, the NFL.
What is your expectation after his rookie season?
Just the starter.
If I would ask you in January, after they lost to the Eagles, what's your expectation?
That would still probably have been the expectation. Like, rough rookie season, but like, again, really tough position. Let's see what happens.
And now, after the Dallas game, yeah.
Now the hope is, I hope he can at least be a decent guard.
So after one game.
Dude, I understand he's getting, you know, a really tough matchup, but you can't be losing rep after rep to Doris Armstrong. You can't. That's like,
alarming. Yes.
I don't know what else to say. Again, like, this is not even like a matchup that's coming up where if he does play well, you can get excited. Because they don't have a good pass rush. I understand they had 6 sacks, but they were, for the most part, covered sacks or Sam Howell throwing the ball for too long, running out of bounds. Like Bobby posted a video. Like, none of these were like, oh, like they have a good pass rush. It was Sam Howell is a shitty quarterback. Again, even if he plays well, just don't get dominated by the 49ers.
I just want to say it's one game into his second season. He's very clearly overwhelmed. They need to do everything they can to just get his feet under him. You see this a lot in baseball, and you see this a lot
literally and figuratively, Nick.
Get his feet under him. You see this a lot in baseball and in hockey, where when guys first get to the professional level, they just look like they're moving at half speed compared to everybody else because they are just not used to that game speed level. You would think after an entire rookie season that he would have sank or swam by now. And it might seem like he's closer to sinking than swimming, and that's really the case after the game on Sunday. I watched a cut up of the Giants offensive line on Sunday and on all their passing plays, and they just got no chance. Couldn't get outside it fast enough. Couldn't get his hands up fast enough. And you would think, okay, it can't possibly get any worse than that. Floor, absolute floor, worst performance imaginable. Put that behind you, and you say objectively, 7th overall pick, highly touted. He is going to be an NFL starter. It is just a matter of if he can be anything more than just a replacement level starter. That is where I'm at on Evan Neal. If he is even slightly above average at right tackle, you take that at this point.
The concerning thing, I said this before the Eagles game when we were talking about like the offensive line, like whether it's like, why could it be a concern or where could the improvements be? This group spent all summer going up against the defensive line that is not full of slouches. Aziz Ojulari went healthy, very good. Kayvon Thibodeau went healthy, very good. Dexter Lawrence, probably top 3, top 4 interior defensive linemen in the league. Leonard Williams.
John Michael Smith looked good on Monday. He didn't look bad.
Sure. His snaps could use some work, but in terms of the pass blocking, right, and whatever, fine. I don't understand how Evan Neal could be going up against guys who have speed, guys who have strength, guys who have moves, and then look completely clueless on Sunday night.
I want to ask you a question, Nick, because you said something. You talked about the mental part of it, right? Do you think Evan Neal's struggles are mental, or is it
physical? It's both. It's absolutely both, because he's getting physically dominated, and he's like, damn, am I not good anymore? And it you know, that's how it works. It's all interconnected. You can't ever say it's just one of those things. It's always a combination of the two.
Do you think with the mental part of it, there's a lot of coaching involved?
100%. You got to build a guy up.
Where the messaging is not getting across, you know, when you're sitting in a meeting room, when you're watching film for 4 hours, and a guy's, you know, you're constantly looking at every single play, especially from last Sunday, where it's like every single play, you're like struggling. This is why I think the Evan Neal thing is like everyone's just ready to like, let's move him to guard. Let's do that. Like, I truly think Evan Neal can still be a legitimate tackle in this league. I just think the problem is that the coaching is not working. Whatever coach, like the message the coach gives has to get to the player. And right now it's not. And it's impacting his play. And maybe there's too many chefs in the kitchen, right? Where it's like too many different messages. We know he worked out with, I think, Willie Anderson in the offseason. Did what Willie Anderson try to teach him and try to, you know, make habits for him? Is it different than when Bobby Johnson is doing? Like, is there a million things going on in his head? Well, Bobby Johnson tells me, you know, do this a certain way, and you know, Brian Daboll is telling me this, and Mike Kapkoff is telling me that, and then the guys that I work with in the offseason tell me, like, when we talk about mental thing, like, those are the type of issues. Like, maybe there's so many things going on in his head, and it's impacting him. And the scary part about it is, it's not just he's getting beat by Speed Rush. He's getting Bull Rush, too. And that's not supposed to happen. Like, Dorrance Armstrong is not, like, that's why the most alarming thing when I talked about it on Monday with Evan Neal was not that he was getting beat by, like, Micah Parsons or a speed guy like Dante Fowler. Like, he was getting beat by Doris Armstrong. Not taking anything away from Doris Armstrong, good player, good depth player, but that's not a speed guy. Like, those are the guys that Evan Neal is supposed to handle. And that's why I think it's just something is going on in that dude's head, because he didn't lose his strength. Like, he's still a big physical dude. And something is wrong. It sucks because, people made the comparison to Ereck Flowers. Ereck Flowers was never an easy guy to root for. You know, like, Ereck Flowers is always just
that's
like
the problem. That's the problem. It's almost worse that Neal is worse because Neal's a nice guy and he's trying.
Yeah, he's an easy guy.
Flowers wasn't trying,
and he'll tell you straight up like this was embarrassing. Like, remember after that Dallas game, he stood up in front of the camera and he said like this is the worst game I've ever played in my life. And we saw him put in the work. Right? It's just like it's unfortunate that it's not clicking, and I genuinely feel bad for him.
That Aaron Rodgers injury was. It was so shocking, and I don't mean to be hurtful, but it really wasn't. Because if you look at the New York Jets history, and you were to tell me, and you were to ask me, and again, I'm not trying to be hurtful, because I am a fan of Aaron Rodgers, and him running out with the flag was awesome. But if you were to ask me when he signed with the Packers, what is more likely to happen? If you were a betting man, Aaron Rodgers would suffer a season-ending injury in the first game, or Aaron Rodgers would lead the New York Jets to the Super Bowl.
Season-ending injury in a landslide.
100%. 100%. It's not even a question.
And I would base that simply on the fact that every single thing that's happened to the New York Jets that we think is a good thing always ends like this. It literally happened to Vinny Testaverde. The same exact thing. It sucked because I wanted to, like, I don't hate the Jets. I know it's crazy because I'm a Giant fan, but my hatred is directed towards teams in my division and the San Francisco 49ers. I don't have hatred for the New York Jets. I really don't. I think maybe because I have a lot of Jet fans who actually tell me that they respect my team and they respect what they've done and how they want to be that one day. Like, maybe it's that. But I truthfully don't have any hatred in my heart for the Jets, not even when they had Rex Ryan. That one year where Rex was talking a lot of shit about the Giants, I mean, the Giants ended up beating the Jets, ending Rex Ryan's tenure, you know, what was the start of the end of the Rex Ryan's tenure, and then they went on to win the Super Bowl. So it was like, it was tough to like just hate the Jets, like, but it sucked, man. They won the game, fine. And Josh Allen, you talk about messaging not getting across. Ken Dorsey's message is not getting across to Josh Allen, and that's why he's turning the football over, and that issue's not been fixed. It absolutely sucked for the Jets. Man, I didn't even text my family that are Jets fans, even though they were, you know, throwing a lot of haymakers at me because what happened the night before. But I didn't want to text them because it's such we got kicked in the nuts on Sunday night. I think they got chainsawed up and thrown into a dumpster.
Yeah, I mean, my group chat had grown men crying. It was, you know, and listen, I don't hate the Jets. I think a lot of people think I hate the Jets. I don't hate the Jets all the time. I hate the Jets when the Jets are good because Jets fans don't know how to go about being humans. Just
can you blame them? Like, they haven't had success like
that. No, but you know the saying, act like you've been here before. They can't yes, they have.
What, 1969? What was the other one?
Come on.
Super Bowl III?
Playoffs. Bro, they got taken to the playoffs by Mark Sanchez, by Ryan Fitzpatrick.
13 years ago.
Bro, they've been good in their lifetime. Grow up. Sauce Gardner is easily the most insufferable player on that team. Insufferable. The guy was on Twitch going for Aaron Rodgers, like, all offseason. He was just like, Aaron,
make sure you get, I send you the video of this. Make sure you get that, what he just did.
Like, all offseason on Twitch, on Twitter. Aaron, please come here. Woody, please trade for my friend Aaron. And then they trade for Rodgers. Bro, the Josh Allen and the Bills were awful, and you still got cooked. Like, you spent literally the entire offseason on social media, and this is like my boomer take, on social media and like just begging for Aaron Rodgers, and then you got cooked week one.
Wouldn't you if Zach Wilson was your quarterback?
What are you talking about? Playing defense.
I know, but wouldn't you? Exactly. It doesn't matter what he's playing. I'm saying, wouldn't you, if you were a New York Jet player?
No, I'd have a little bit of tact because the guy's still in the freaking locker room. And now look, now he's your starter. Now who are you going to be kissing?
That's the weird part.
Like, you're going to be kissing up to him.
Yeah, you spent all offseason, from the moment that, remember that Patriot game last week where Zach Wilson said, it's not my fault? From that moment all the way to when they acquired Aaron Rodgers, the Jet players were all, get me a new quarterback, get me a new quarterback. And then they get the new quarterback. This is why I don't think keeping Zach Wilson was smart. Like, they won. I'm not taking it away from it was a good Jet win. Jets probably don't win that game in the past. Great win. Now your quarterback is the guy that every single player indirectly said out loud and probably in the locker room that they do not want.
Yeah, but you know what? America loves a comeback story.
There's no comeback story with Zach Wilson. He sucks.
There might be.
Oh, please.
There might be.
I saw people comparing this to
Zach Wilson, Trent Dilfer? Trent Dilfer, yeah.
No, I heard the comparison to Kurt Warner or Trent Green and Kurt Warner, where it's like, come on. Zach Wilson wasn't bagging groceries. You know, he was the number two pick.
He should have been. He should have been.
Jameis will be a Jet by week four.
I would love that.
Only hope.
That would be fun.
It would be so fun. I would like actively root for them.
It would be fun. He's perfect for them. He is, because he'll just sling it, and that's what they need.
Yeah.
The issue with Zach is that he can't hit the checkdowns. He throws in the triple coverage, and he has the Baker Mayfield happy feet where he's always moving in the pocket, even if the pocket's not moving. And he's always taking himself away from being able to make throws and putting himself in awful positions. If they win, it's going to take, 10 games to make the playoffs in the AFC, probably? I don't see the Jets winning 10 games with Zach Wilson. You got to roll the dice on a Jameis, or if you want to get nuts, you could chalk yourself into maybe Tannehill or Kyler Murray. I don't think there's a world in which the Jets can get to 10 wins with Zach.
Yeah, no way.
Buffalo.
Oof.
I don't like the vibes with Buffalo, man.
The dig stuff is very interesting. The dig stuff is fascinating.
And I hate the fact that Buffalo keeps denying it like it exists. Like, it exists. You know, come on. There is animosity there no matter what Stephon Diggs says. Diggs is doing his best not to make it a distraction, but it definitely is a distraction.
I saw someone make this joke, and I'll repeat it because it was so good. Josh Allen is the dog that everybody loves, but he can't help but rip the garbage bag open every few weeks and make a mess in the kitchen. He's a great dog. Everyone loves him, but God, he can't stay out of the garbage.
I absolutely hate when people say nobody's talking about Josh Allen's turnovers. Yes, they are.
It's ridiculous. Yes, they are. That's the Trump thing. Many people are saying, no one ever talks about this. Yes, they are. All the talking head shows talk about is who just had a shitty performance and who just lost. Like, we're not talking enough about Joe Burrow not throwing for 100 yards. Yes, we are. You're doing it right now.
Yes. We've been talking about Josh Allen's turnovers all offseason. We talked about it last year. Like, we've been talking about it. It has been a topic of discussion. The thing is, when you're winning, right, like the Bills, like, despite the fact that, you know, he's turned the ball over, they've won games. So we talk more about, like, winning cures all, right? So when they win, you're not going to sit there on a Monday morning and talk about Josh Allen's turnovers all day. You're going to talk about the fact that they won the game. The problem is, now that they're losing games because he's turned the ball over, it's talked about more. So it's always being talked about. I don't understand this whole nonsense about how he's not turning the ball over. But yeah.
Sports talk is cooked, man. And New York especially has been horrendous the last few days. Between the Jets stuff, the Giants stuff, it's just been an atrocity out there.
It could be an all-time terrible New York sports year. Because the Mets and the Yankees had big aspirations coming into the season. And same thing with the Jets and the Giants. And the Jets already suffered a catastrophic, demoralizing injury. The Giants lose 40-0. Like, I hope not, because I'm a Giant fan, but it could be one of those.
The best team in the tri-state area is the Devils, and I'm not exaggerating when I say that.
What about the Knicks?
The Devils could win the Stanley Cup this year. The Knicks, I can't see winning the NBA title. Knicks can make a conference final if the East breaks their way, but they can't win the NBA title. They're not going to beat any of those teams from the West.
You're dumb.
How?
Islanders are the best team.
The Islanders are going to be lucky to make the playoffs, my dude. So will the Rangers will make the playoffs. The
Rangers are going to be lucky to make the playoffs.
The Rangers will make the playoffs because they have the best or second best goalie in the league, but they'll lose in the first.
The regression is coming, Nick. The regression is coming.
I spent the entirety of last season saying the Rangers aren't actually good, and then they laid an egg against the Devils. Believe me, I unfortunately know my hockey team is aggressively mid. They are a regular
season. Florida Panthers won the Stanley Cup last year, right?
They finished in second. Vegas won the Stanley Cup.
Vegas won the Stanley Cup. I apologize. Yeah, there you go. The Eastern Conference Finals was like two teams from markets that nobody really
cares about. Carolina and Florida.
Yeah.
Right. And Carolina beat Toronto in game 7? Yes.
No, yes. Carolina beat the Islanders, and then Carolina beat the Devils. The Leafs beat Tampa, and then lost to Florida.
Man.
To wrap us up, follow us on Twitter. Subscribe. Unsubscribe, resubscribe. You guys know the deal. Talk to you after Arizona.
Peace. Better win that game, too. Holy shit.
Better.